give you a little personal testimony. For 24 years, I shouted for the devil.
Right,
brother. In fact, I'll give you a date. December the 19th, 1975. Anybody have anything to remember about that day? I do. Buffalo Bills had a chance at a wild card. One of their few. And if they beat the Minnesota Vikings on that day, they'd get into the wild card playoffs. Well, being from this area, a bunch of my school buddies, we were all graduates. We had a buddy that was living in an apartment up in Buffalo, going to a business college up there. And about 20 of us packed into his apartment. We slept all over the floor. And we went to that game. I told my mom, I said, "Mom, you'll need to see me," because it was 40 below zero, Brother Vernon, in that stadium that day when he went. That's how much of a football fanatic I was.
That's right, brother. Yep.
And I told my mom, I said, "I'll be easy to spot. I'm wearing my hunting suit, my blaze orange hunting suit." Little did I know, there's about 4 million of them in there that day. I'm on for about 40 million people. We walked through that tunnel you walked through to get into the stadium. And when we went in through that thing, just got out to where I'm standing and I'm there and the seats are all around me. I can see the field and they announce over the loudspeaker, "The stadium is now sold out. It'll be aired locally." I said, "You mean I could have stayed home like this on TV?" O.J. Simpson was running from the lineman instead of the lawman back then. He ran for 225 yards that day. And the Buffalo Bills lost because Frank Tarkin threw a record 450 yards that day. There I was in 40 below zero weather. Amen. Standing there while some guy running up and down a piece of real estate with a pigskin going, "Woo! Woo! 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 Woo!"
Yes, sir. That's right.
And I don't even remember today what the score was. Yeah. All I know is they lost.
Yeah. Tell the truth.
Now, I got hooked up with a winners 33 years ago.
Oh, brother,
I'm going to put the same fervency that I had, in fact, even greater fervency
than
for something that's gone. Amen. I've got that kind of fervency now for something that's going to live forever.
Yes.
Something I'm going to see.
Yes.
Something that's going to be right in front of me.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to get the bow before his face. Amen. Down on my face and hug his feet. Amen. And kiss his feet. And just say thank you, Jesus, for about a million years.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Forgive me while I get beside him.
That's right.
Y'all don't have to forgive me. I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. Now you go downtown and then you shout downtown. If you can't shout about being saved, there's something wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you get more excited about the things of this world than you do the things of God, there's something wrong.
Yes, sir.
Now listen, if all you do is sit there and grin, that's great. But don't you watch a football game and throw a brick and put that TV.
Right.
Amen. We had a guy in our church preaching down in Pennsylvania, down in Southern PA. I went to a wrestling match. His boy was wrestling. We call it wrestling down here. He's wrestling. And I'm telling you, this big fellow was wrestling him, and he had him all tied up in knots. And I'm saying, "He went, oh, come on, Mark, buddy, here, get him and do something." His own father was sitting there going, I mean, the whole time, he didn't even hardly raise an eyebrow. You know what happened when you get on in church? Like it gets on, you know, people start shouting and carrying away, getting carried away, getting beside themselves. You know what he'd do? He'd sit there and grin and go. He showed more emotion, amen, because he grinned. He never even grinned at that before. But that was him. Now, if that's you, God bless you. We love you.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Not again now. But brother, if you're going to get excited about the world, you better get more excited about God. Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Take your Bible, turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. Anybody drink out of that yet? I hope not. Thank you, buddy. Is this one fresh too? Huh? Well, it ain't the Lord's. I'm not quite sure I want to try that. Amen. Thank you, son. Luke chapter 15, look at verse 11 there with me. Familiar story. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now you know the story. I'm not going to read the whole context. We'll get there somehow, but we're going to stop right there a minute. You know the story. You know it's the prodigal son. And we just read where he wasted his substance with riotous living. He left the good blessings of God. He left the place where God had looked over him through his daddy for years. He left the place where God had fed him. He left the place where God had clothed him. He left the place where God had taken care of him. He left the place where he'd been loved all those years and went down the road in rebellion. I want to preach just for a little while tonight on the road to rebellion. The road to rebellion. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and thank you for the privilege, God, to be in this meeting this week. Thank you for your presence being here already. And God, we look, God, to you for, God, what we'll do even now. Now, Lord, there's nothing in us that's any good save the sweet Spirit of God and the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that you, through the Spirit of God, would take the Word of God and lodge it in our hearts. Father, I know how I give you the vessel. I ask you to fill it overflowing. And let the overflow touch and meet the need of each heart. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. When this prodigal took off, he wasn't known as the prodigal. In fact, he was called the prodigal later on by somebody else. Listen, when he left the farm, his thought was not, you know what, I'm going to go slop the hogs. Right. I'm going to go eat with the hogs. Right. You know, there's not a person on the streets anywhere in America that started out to end up there. There's not a drunk sitting on any bar stool in this country that said, you know what, I'm going to become the town drunk. When I got saved, I wasn't the town drunk. The town was too big and had too many of them. But I'm here to tell you, I didn't start out to be a drunken dope head. I was raised, amen, in a drunkard's home, but my mama taught me good. That didn't work. Without salvation, I went my way anyway. The sad part of it is there's some folk that have salvation, they still go their own way.
Yeah.
I didn't start out to wind up in my own vomit. Young people, they never tell you those stories.
Right.
They never tell you what it's like when everything you've got is gone.
That's right. Yes.
They always paint a picture with some sleek looking woman and some fast sleek car and say, drink this with us.
Right, brother. Yeah.
They want you to think that's the way it's going to be. But the road to rebellion doesn't start out with you thinking, you know what, I'm going to go get some of that. The road to rebellion is a long process to it.
Sure is.
And the first one is probably going to flip you out. It's probably going to blow your mind. Because you probably think, well, the first one was, he had it out with his daddy. He had enough. It didn't start there. You wonder why the first one, you want to know what the first step to the road to rebellion is? Too many blessings. Too many blessings. Raised in a good home. Raised in a good place out in the country. Amen, preacher. Amen, I preached in a few churches where you look out the window and watch cows go by. Amen.
Right.
And smell the manure. Amen.
Right.
Raised in the country. Raised on the farm. Raised without the influence of the world. You grow up on a farm back in them days. Hey, when you grew up on a farm in our day, you didn't get to town on a whole lot. I mean, it was a big thing to ride school bus. And you could watch, amen, street signs go by. And that's all I saw of town. I got back on the bus, watched the street signs go by until there weren't no more, and went up the holler. Amen. We went up the creek, and we didn't have no paddle. That's where I grew up. I'm here to tell you something. There's something about growing up in the country. Thank God you live in Black Creek, New York. This is about as country you get for a town, amen.
That's right.
They still got a post office?
Yes.
Amen. The government ain't shut that one down yet, amen. This young man had too many blessings. You read about Sodom. In fact, turn there with me to Psalms. I'm sorry, turn there with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. You know Sodom? That didn't start out to be Sodom. It didn't start out to be Sodomites. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 16. Look with me at verse 49. I know, you know, today, man, you think of sodomy and you think of the Sodomites and your skin crawls and you say, oh, that's vile. But they didn't start out there. Here's where it started. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. We'll get on that in a little bit. But fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. But it was pride and fullness of bread. Bless. Amen. Bless.
Yeah.
Too many blessings. Too much time. What's that? That's just a blessing from God. You take the time God gives you and use it for God, you can't ever get too much time. I found that out, man. Amen. You can stay busy for God. In fact, you can get so busy you ain't got time for God. Amen. In the service of God. I've been guilty a few times myself. I've known some folks that did. Too many blessings. We live in the most blessed country on the planet.
That's right.
Amen. I've been in several. I've been on every continent of the world that has people but South America. And I've been invited to there and Antarctica. I've been in several countries, several climates, several different classes of people. This is the most blessed nation on the planet.
Amen.
How'd that prodigal get started? He had too many blessings all around him. You ever go out in the middle of a great big field when the hay was up about yeah high and just stand around and look, just look, and all you could see is hay? And you get to thinking about that hay. And what that hay is going to do, how it's going to feed the cattle, and how it's going to feed you. Because through you, the cattle get fed. Through you, the cows, through you, amen, through that hay, them cows get milk. You get thinking about just that blessing alone in one field. Now you multiply that. This young man, amen, everywhere he turned, he had fields. Everywhere he turned, he had animals. He had joy. He was blessed. He had a roof over his head. He had shoes on his feet. And when he came back, beloved, he didn't even have shoes on his feet. And he stunk.
Yeah.
Too many blessings will cause you to do something. Too many blessings will cause you to take for granted.
That's good, brother.
What God's done for you.
Come on.
Look there in Psalm 147 with me. You begin to take for granted the blessings of God. You just begin to expect it. God got all over me here a while back. I used to get just irate, just upset inside. It still bothers me to have to pump my own gas. See, preacher, why is that? When I was a kid, I pumped gas for old people. Now, I'm an old people. Ain't nobody pumping my gas. And I had to get right with that thing. Lord said, son, that's just one of them blessings that ain't around no more. Because too many people took too many good blessings for granted.
Right.
Yeah. Psalm 147, look at verse 14. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Now go back to Psalm 81. God said he'd fill him with the finest of the wheat. The best there was. And I'm going to tell you right now, growing up on a farm, you got the best there was. Growing up in the country where you got a garden, you got the best there is. Ain't nothing better than going out in the garden and digging down into a fresh pile of taters, amen, and getting them new taters and taking them home and putting them in there with some new peas, amen, and mama cooking them things. Oh, I'm telling you what, ain't nothing better. Amen. Ain't nothing better than going out and getting you a fresh old tomato off the vine and whack, and taking that thing in, slicing it, putting on a piece of bread, putting a little mayonnaise on there, and making you a sandwich and eating that thing. I'm telling you what, you can't get no better than that.
Yeah.
Hey, ain't nothing better than going back up on the back 40 and seeing a big old deer up here, amen, pulling the trigger, amen, taking him home, amen, dressing him out, cooling him down, amen, preparing him and cooking him and eating him, amen. And going out to the flock, amen, and taking a goat, or taking a lamb, or taking a young calf, or even an old cow, amen, and butchering that thing, and getting that meat fresh, amen. You ain't got all that junk you can get from the grocery store.
Right, right, right.
Ain't nothing better. This boy grew up, I'm telling you, he had it good. Psalm 81, look at verse 10. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Anybody get brought out of Egypt here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I believe it was John R. Rice. That was his life verse. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. He used it as prayer, as a prayer promise from God. Amen. To open your mouth and God would fill it, right? But right here he's talking about something different. He said this, read on. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock.
Yes.
Should I have satisfied thee?
Yes.
God wanted to bless Israel, but Israel took for granted what God had already been doing in their life. Mm-hmm. And they wound up out there complaining. I think we heard something about that. They wound up out there complaining.
That's right.
Oh, we got to eat this again. I've got a daughter, the red-headed one. Y'all have met her. Ask her if she's made any more than one bad comment about mom's cooking. That time she's here. We live down in southern Pennsylvania right before we went to New Guinea. Times are tough. I mean, there's times we didn't have two beans to rub together, amen, to make a meal. And we pray and God would provide and we ate what God provided. Amen. Didn't have nothing to go to the grocery store. And we had, my wife, she's a master at making Spanish rice. She makes so much Spanish rice, I think all of our faces turned red. And one night after about 6 weeks of Spanish rice, my red-headed daughter sat down at the table and she said, do we have to eat this slop again?
Oh, no.
Wrong answer in my house. I said, no, young lady, you do not. And all of a sudden she knew what she'd done. No, joking, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You just spoke against the blessings of God and your mama. Your mama labored hard to feed that, prepare that food and get it ready. You can go to your room and you can do without supper. Oh, that was me. Ask her if she's done it since. Ask her how she teaches her children now.
That's right.
All
right.
That's good stuff.
Amen. It taught her to appreciate mama's food.
That's right.
It taught her to appreciate the blessings of God.
Right.
Oh, you should see her now when God throws a blessing her way. Woo, man, she gets beside herself too. She went up that night, and I told her on the way up the steps, as I followed her to the bottom of the stairs, I said, when you get up there, I said, just think about it. All night long, no food. I said, I'm locking the fridge. You can't get in it. Oh, that's mean. I said, but when you come down in the morning, that plate will be still waiting for you on the table, and you can have it tomorrow, cold. Oh, that's mean. She ate it. And when she got done, she walked over in tears and said to her, and hugged her mama and said, Mom, I'm sorry.
Amen.
For yes. taking you for granted.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Too many blessings. We take for granted what God's done and what He's already doing and what He'd like to do in our lives. I see a lot of people give up right before the gates of heaven are about to pour open.
Yeah, right.
And God's just about to pour the blessing out.
Yes.
And they quit because they took for granted the blessings God gave them. It looked like a blessing.
Yeah.
It looked like Spanish rice for 6 weeks. And they quit right before God was getting ready to open the windows of heaven. And left it. Because they took all God was already doing. You see, you can find diamonds in dung heaps if you just look for what God's doing.
That's right.
Man, you can find a lot of people, amen, down in the depths and the dregs of this world if you just look for what God's doing. And you can find a lot of blessings in your life if you just take a look at what God's already done in your life.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And boy, I tell you what, it begins to say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I don't deserve even where I'm at.
That's right.
If I got what I deserve tonight, I'd be in hell frying like an egg with my back broke. God, you've been good to me. Too many blessings. You take things for granted. And that leads to too much unthankfulness.
That's it.
When was the last time you said thank you?
Come on. Right.
I'm not trying to be mean on people, but your generation is the most unthankful people I've ever met.
That's right, bro. Yes, sir.
I've seen children in church. I'm talking teenagers in church. And that ought to do something for them, somebody else do something for them, and they take it for granted, and you never hear the word thank you. In fact, you can watch it and walk off.
That's right.
Unthankful. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about the road to rebellion. We ain't got there yet. We're just starting out. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 1. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Say, what's the perilous time, preacher? Is that when Walmart don't have what I need on the shelf? That's what the average American thinks.
Right.
That's what some Bible-believing Christians think today. Oh, me! They didn't have it. That frustrates you when you got a job to do and you go down the store and they ain't got it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Got to order it. When will it be here? Oh, 2 weeks from now. Man, the job, well, I can't get the job done. Oh, yeah. That's not perilous times. Perilous times are verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful.
That's right. Yep.
Unthankful. Wasn't thankful for what his daddy had already done. Wasn't thankful how hard daddy worked to build the farm. Preacher, I don't know how much you've seen this. You've got it somehow. I've been in churches where an ordered man of God has labored. I mean, he sweat blood and tears. He's been there, I mean, just, I built the work. God used him to build that work up.
Right.
And I've seen, amen, the church we're helping right now. My first pastor took that work with 15 people and built it to a work of 150 strong. Today, it's a work of 30 strong. Occasionally, we had, and when I went there, it was a work of 15 weak. 30 strong now. They've got their foundation back on the book, Brother Dan.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
They've got their love back for God and for the Word of God. And God, little by little, we've had a couple of prodigals come home while I've been there already.
Amen.
People been out of church for years. But my first pastor turned that church over to a young man, a Bible college graduate. He told me later, he said, I'd never go to that school ever again. I said, preacher, I'd have a hard time going to any school again.
That's right.
That young man, in a few short years, ran that church into the ground. No thankfulness for that old man of God who's now 85 and how he had labored, how he had sweat.
Yeah.
How he had knocked every door in that county about 10 times over. How he had gone out and visited the sick. How he had gone out and done things for people just to get an open door to talk to them. He's there for 8 years. I've been there just a few months helping them get back on their feet. I've already had townspeople come up to me and say, you're different.
That's right.
You're different. I said, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Amen.
They said, that other fella, and they proceeded to tell me the stories. He said, but you're different. I said, praise God. That young man had no thankfulness for what that old man of God labored and built and gave to him. Gave! I said, gave to him.
Right.
Unthankfulness. Black Creek, I'm talking to you right now.
Yes, sir.
How many times you thank God for God bringing John Ashley
yes.
to this?
Yes, yes. Amen.
And
yes.
nobody ever loved you like that man
yes,
right there.
Amen.
Loves you.
That's right, brother. Yeah, true.
Ain't nobody else would put up with you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Exactly right.
And look back your tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. And see where you were when he got here and see where you are today.
That's right. Yes.
I guarantee you, you're further ahead.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
When's the last time you thanked God for him?
Yes.
When's the last time you told him?
Thank yeah, that's good. He's a good preacher.
You ever walk up to your preacher and say, preacher, thanks?
Yes.
You walked all over me, but I needed that.
That's right. That's right, brother. Yes, sir. That's right.
You hit me right between the eyes,
yes,
but I needed
yes,
that.
That's right.
You know why he does? He loves you.
That's right. All right. Yes, sir. You better believe it.
You want to know where you've seen the love of God?
Come on.
In your past.
Yes.
Yes.
The problem, it isn't just young people.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
It's old people too.
Sorry.
They're not thankful for what God brought them.
That's good.
God brought you another gem.
Sure did, yes.
Amen to that.
Preacher, thank you for your heart and your desire to lead me.
Oh,
sister,
glory to God.
Playing the piano, walking up and down. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
God. That's right. Amen.
Hey.
You're a blessing to me.
Yes, sir.
And I don't even belong to this church.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
I know you're a blessing to this church.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey.
Too much unthankfulness for what Daddy did to build the farm. God's people get too unthankful for what God's doing to build the farm. And what God's doing. Listen, 4 years ago, this meeting right here was just in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Look what God's done in 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Too much unthankfulness. I'll tell you what else he was. The road to rebellion. We haven't even got to rebellion yet. Too covetous for what he didn't have. Oh, preacher, I hear it all the time. If I just had a 15-passenger van, I'd bring more people to church. I said, what are you doing with your Toyota?
That's right.
What are you doing with your Buick? What are you doing with your Ford?
That's right.
Got that right.
What are you doing with your Hyundai? Drive it off a cliff and go buy an American car. No, I'm joking. Listen, folks, I was in Kenya back in 06. I think it might have been 05. I preached in this church. I was the first American preacher to come from America and preach to these people. They were so excited, this great American, they thought I was a great preacher. They didn't know me too well. But that's what they put it out, man. There was a buzz. The missionary told me, said they were buzzing when I left about you coming. They think you're some kind of great preacher. I said, you didn't lie to them, did you? He said, no, I told them you were. He said, brother, they're going to go. They're going all out for that meeting. First night, Brother Tommy, of that meeting, I'm standing at the back of the church, and in comes this little, it was a some kind of a foreign outfit, Peugeot or something, one of them cars. But it's about the size of a Toyota Corolla station wagon. About like that one you got out there, maybe a little smaller. Probably a little smaller, because that's Camry, isn't it? It was smaller. Size of a Toyota Corolla station wagon. 15 people got out of that car. I got a picture of them. I made them all stand beside it because what happened? They pulled up, preacher, and they opened the doors, and it was like a cannon just exploded. People fell on the ground. There were so many people in that car. And I said, whoa, whoa, stop, 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 wait, wait. I told the preacher, tell them, stop, tell them, wait, I got to get a picture. They'll never believe this in America. 16 people. I got them, I counted them, I took their picture.
Yeah.
You know what happened after that? The driver turned around and took off again. And came back with 16 more. And he turned around and went back out again and came back in with 16 more. And came out. They did that until church started. In fact, we were starting Sunday school and we were singing when they brought the last load in. The church ran about 185 normally at that time. There were 1,376 people there that Sunday. There wasn't nobody talking about it. You know, preacher, if I had a van, a bigger car, I could haul more people.
Right.
They just used what they had.
Yes.
They were thankful they had a car to go get people.
Amen.
And they just used it to go fill it up for God and bring them in.
Yeah. Amen.
And if it took 15 trips, they took 15 trips. Listen, young people, if God wants to give you a gallon and your container only holds a pint, make each trip, but get off. Don't get covetous because your container's not big enough.
Come on.
Oh, if I just had a bigger one. Whoa, man, if I, preachers, if I had that church.
Uh-huh.
I've had preachers come in since I've been there trying to help these guys get back on. And I got the commission. Preacher, what a building. I'm going, works for us. Keeps us cool. In summer, hot in winter. I mean, yeah, what a that's a great building. And I said, you think the building's great? Wait till you meet the people.
Amen.
That's right.
Because they're even greater.
Amen.
That's right.
They're 30 of the finest folk on the planet.
Amen.
And man, they love God and they love that book. And God's already doing something, and it ain't because of the building, it's because of them.
That's
and
right.
Their heart.
God. Amen.
Oh, we're pining away. I'm getting too old. far.
Right.
And then this sister comes in with Walker and gets up there and plays the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Shame on you.
Yep. Yep.
And gal played piano this morning with hands.
That's right.
Kind of like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded pretty good to me.
Yeah, what a blessing. What a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Too covetous of what we don't have. You know what? The preacher said this morning, when he didn't say it quite this way, her daddy taught her not to long for what she didn't have.
Amen.
He taught her
exactly
what to use.
Right.
He taught her to use what God
yeah,
gave her.
Tell her that.
I taught her in Canaan, the second time I was there, third time I was there, I taught about 45 pastors. And when you start teaching some things, there are certain doctrines you can't teach from a funny Bible. They're not in there.
Right.
And by the way, the same people that are messing with American Bibles are messing with other Bibles.
Yeah. Right.
And so you get over there and you've got to teach them manuscript evidence. I'm trying to explain some things and it's just not in the Swahili Bible, so I'm talking about it. And I got old men over here and they're getting, you can see they're just crestfallen. I mean, they're all of a sudden they're seeing our Bible is inferior. I mean, we see it. They can't even speak English, but they can see it. They can understand what's being said. And I got all these younger men here, some of them college graduates, some of them a lot sharper than me. I speak five languages, some of them spoke seven or eight. Sharp as a tack. And I looked and I caught what these guys were doing. I looked at these guys over here and I said, listen, you young fellas, hold on. Looked at them old fellas and I said, listen, how many of y'all got saved reading the King James Bible? Let me see your hands. Not one of them could raise their hand. Of course they could. How many of y'all got saved because somebody took the King James Bible and led you to Christ? Let me see your hands. Now, a hand went up. Of course it couldn't. And I said, I saw the look on your face. I said, I know you realize what you've got. But there's a parable in the Bible about the parable of talents. And each one got a different amount. But every one of them was accountable for what God gave them. Okay. And I held up my King James Bible and I said, this is a two-edged sword. What you've got is a rubber sword.
Okay.
But it's what God gave you. How many of you got saved? Oh, of course, all the answer. I said, what were you reading? How did you get saved? What did you preach? You preached this book. I said, God gave you a rubber sword. God expects you to use it until He brings something better your way.
Right.
And I turned to the young men and I said, you all got the brains and the wherewithal to give them what they need in life.
Right.
God holds you responsible for giving them something they can use. Man, I'm telling you, there's guys right now working on the Swahili Bible.
Amen.
Amen. What happened? They get too covetous of what they thought. Young man got too covetous of what he thought he wanted. Give me the portion of goods that falls. Thought he wanted it all. Didn't take him long to figure it out, did it? About the time it was all gone. And now he finds himself slopping the hogs. And then he finds himself eating what the hogs eat. How many of y'all ever been in a pig water? You know what it smells like? You ain't smelled nothing. You smelled pig water.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
We used to have hogs. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. That's where I learned this, and it's become my mantra, my motto, amen? You don't render the Word of God, you render hogs.
Uh-huh.
Don't you mess with my Bible.
Good. Sure.
Too covetous of what he thought he wanted. I want that. Oh, yeah. Where did it lead him? He led him to the hog pen. We haven't even got to rebellion yet. He's still thinking he wants this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Fourthly, the road to rebellion, how'd he get there? He was too careless to listen to his father. I thought it was amazing. Here I am preparing this message, and I got a friend of mine out in Arizona. And this guy is so on time. He sends me, turn to Proverbs chapter 12 with me. He sends me scripture every day and makes a few comments. And here I was. I had just penned this down when I got the text from him. And it was the same verse. Proverbs 12:1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And then he threw this one in there, which I also had in there. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. Remember now, what it say there in Proverbs 12? Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You notice when he came to the Father didn't even reprove him.
Amen.
Could it be that the Father knew it wouldn't do any good? Could it be that the Father had watched this young man from the time all this stuff started brewing in his heart to realize the only way he was going to learn was the hard way?
Yeah.
And there's some of you sitting here tonight, the only way you're going to get it's the hard way.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's sad. Man, it's a whole lot easier to learn from somebody else's mistake. I mean, take Brother Dale aside and ask him about all the tattoos. Learn from his mistakes. I got a friend, he's tattooed from his wrist all the way up to his neck, all the way down this one, all the way down here, all the way down his back. He was the number two man in the all motorcycle club nationwide. He was up for number one when God saved him.
Amen. Yes.
You'll never see him in the pulpit without long sleeve shirts on.
Amen.
Because he said, I'm ashamed. Learn from their mistakes. Now you got people. Hey amen. I didn't. And this wasn't in my notes. I didn't plan on it. But you got people in church. What? Asking the question, preacher. What about Christian tattoos?
Yeah.
I've had people, young people, ask me, what about Christian tattoos?
Right.
I said, was that anything like Christian fornication?
Right.
Is that anything like Christian alcohol?
Right. Yeah.
Christian drunkenness? I don't get it.
Right.
Learn from somebody who's been down the road, and you won't have to go down the road.
Amen. Yes.
Hear ye children, Proverbs 4:1. The instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Look at verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. He taught me. Who taught him? His father. You know one thing I know, and I'm going to hear because these boys are here. I can't speak. I guess you've got another son that ain't here. I can't speak for him, but I can speak for two that are here. I can see something already. They listen to the father's instruction. They heeded what their father was trying to teach them. The proof's in the pudding. One of them's a preacher already. The other one probably going to be. He just don't know it yet. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I'm not trying to call you to preach, son. I got two son-in-laws, though. That's what I say about them all the time. I got one son-in-law that's a preacher. I got two that are. They just don't know it yet. And God's already working on one to be a preacher, so. He taught me. Good doctrine. But you know, when you're too careless to listen to your father, you know what happens? Here's another one with him. There's some folks, they do this like we saw the other night. But then there's others that are just like this. And you know what they're doing? I wonder who's winning the ball game. And if you took a rag and stuck it through this ear, you pull it out this ear and go, back and forth. Because it's going in one ear.
Sure is.
And out the other.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on down the road at Junior Bob's house. I wonder what God would have for me tonight. I wonder if there's something in this message that I can get, that I can glean, that'll help me spiritually, that'll help me grow closer to God.
Yeah.
Too careless to listen leads to the road to rebellion. And fifthly, He thought too highly of himself. Was it you said you knew it all when you were in, you were in college? You, yeah. That's the fact. I mean, that's the way we all are.
That is.
Hey, you want to know the answer to something, ask the King Angel. He's got them all.
That's right. You got that right. Yep.
Amen. And I'm not knocking you, teenager. I was a teenager once too. I know I don't look it. Amen. But I was. I was a teenager once too, and I thought my dad was the dumbest man in the county. Yep. It wasn't until I got to be about 45 I figured out dad was pretty smart. Even as a lost man, dad had some sense. Amen. Thought too highly of himself. Again, there in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, look at verse 49 with me again. Behold, this was iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride.
Pride. What's pride? I like to do a little thing. I had it on the piano, but I'm a little rusty. But put on a pair of sunglasses. And I've written a song. It's called I Am So Spiritual. It goes something like this. I am so spiritual to me. I'm everything God hoped for. I'm everything God needs. Well, I am so spiritual to me.
Did you notice God put pride first? Did you notice, turn back there in 2 Timothy with me again. Did you notice something?
Young people, humility is one of the hardest things you'll ever work on. But let God make you humble.
Help him and get his help to make you humble. Humility, man, I wish I had time to preach on humility, but it covers a lot. A humble man, 9 times out of 10, won't make the wrong choice.
Right.
A humble man won't exalt himself. A humble man will seek to exalt the Savior. Look what it says here now in the last days. Look how God puts this thing. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. There it is again. God put pride first. Me. All about me. You don't think it's about me? Come with me down the highway for about an hour in my motorhome. I will prove to you that everybody out there thinks it's about them.
Yeah.
I've never been waved at with one finger more in my life than I have driving a motorhome. I was going out across I-86, out across the reservation here. And listen, you've never had a rough ride. You ride across that reservation. It's better now. They fixed it a little bit. But doing it in a motorhome with everything you own in a motorhome and glasses in the covers and hit all them bumps. Till your false teeth fall out. I've got cracks in my cabinets from that road. So I'm going down 86 one day, and ain't nobody on the road. I'm running the speed limit plus a little bit. I was within grace, okay? I know. But I was running right along with the cops. I was running about 68. So I wasn't impeding traffic, that's my point. And with all this in the right lane, it's worse. So I swung to the left lane. It's smoother in the left lane. My rig will last longer if I drive in the left lane. And I look in my mirror and this guy's following me. He's been following me since about Angelica somewhere. he's been way back there. But when I got in the left lane, all of a sudden this guy gets a bird on his saddle. He comes flying up and he cuts me off. There's nobody around me. I'm just trying to save my rig. And he begins to slow down. And I told my wife, I said, I know what he's doing. If he wants to stop, I'll explain to him why I'm in the left lane. I mean, seriously, I have no other intention. I wasn't going to fight. I said, buddy, you stop. I'll explain to you why I'm in the left lane so you can understand what I'm doing here. He slowed all the way down to 20 miles an hour. On the four lane. There comes a spot where you can pull off to the left. It's paved. And I pull off. He got off in front of me. I said, what do you think I'm going to do? Pass you in a motorhome from 20 miles an hour? Come on, give me a break. I stopped. So he stopped. I put in park, went for the door. He took off. You know what it was? He just upset me because I was in the left lane. It's all about me everywhere you go.
Right, you're right.
Everything. You know what bugs me? When it happens to me. I'm talking about when I get that way. When that stuff starts to creep into me and I get offended. And I want to bash some guy's face in. Show me! I'll show you!
Yep.
I had a pastor, best pastor I've had. You know who he is. You've met him. He even said one, he gracious man, he said, man, if I had missiles on this car. The spirit of the day. But it doesn't have to affect us.
Yeah.
We let it affect us.
Yeah.
He began to think too highly of himself. His pride's mentioned first in Ezekiel. And here it is now. Love is their own self. Look what that leads to. Covetousness. You think too highly of yourself, you become covetous. You know, I deserve that. Does that sound familiar with where the world's at today? Everybody's got an entitlement, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I tell you what you got an entitlement to do. Go to hell and not pass go. But here we are. He thought so highly of himself. Begin to think highly of yourself, love yourself, and you get covetous. Then you get boasters. You get to boasting about, man, look what I did. You know, I'm trying to think. I've known your pastor here at Black Creek for a while. You all know the first time I came. That's the first time we met face to face. You know, I don't think I've ever heard him say, my church.
That's right. That's right.
Because he realizes it's not his church.
That's exactly right.
It's God's church.
Amen. Amen.
Hey. And I watch a lot of churches and they never rise above their preacher. Can it help you? You can. I've met little old ladies. I mean, I'm not calling you little old ladies. But I've met little old ladies that were more spiritual than their pastor. In fact, their pastor had enough sense. If he had a real tough decision, he wouldn't go talk to little old ladies. He wouldn't. About this, and he bounced off a little old lady just in a way that he wasn't, you know, elevating her, make her think she was, you know, worldly sense, common sense, that sort of thing.
I've met some little old ladies that far outshine preachers.
Yes, sir.
And when they get down to pray, there used to be a gal who lived down here in Portville that prayed for me. She died at 93. And the moment she died, I knew she was gone. Because there was a big hole in the arm where she had been praying.
But this young man got to thinking too highly of himself. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. That fellow that sat right here in this pew this morning, Kenny Bell, if I heard him quote that verse one time, I'll bet you I heard him quote that verse 100 times when I worked for him. Pride goeth before destruction.
and haughty spirit before a fall. And you know what? Did Ken Bell ever get out of church since you've known him?
No.
He's still in church today.
Amen.
That verse has kept him in, I guarantee you. Because he doesn't want to fall.
Right.
Not that he doesn't have the same struggles we do, but he's still in church.
That's right.
He's still faithful. I don't know what you remember getting saved? How many years ago was it?
About 42 years ago in these areas.
42 years.
Amen.
Still at it.
Amen.
Got a son that's a pastor.
Yeah.
Danny.
That's right.
Kid serving God. Why? Didn't think too highly of himself. In fact, if you kind of notice, he was kind of... He might have seemed like he was standoffish. He wasn't standoffish. He didn't want anybody to think he was something he wasn't.
Good.
Get to thinking too high of yourself. You know where you are? You're on the road to rebellion. Lastly, I only got another hour. No, I'm joking. Back in Luke chapter 15. Actually, just give me a country minute, okay? I got two. Look at verse 13 again. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, he's left the father's house and rebellion has begun to manifest itself. But it's been there all the way down the road. It just starts to show up now because he's left the father's house. And now he's out there and everybody knows he's out there and everybody knows. But you know, there's people in this story. There's the father. I guarantee you the father knew it. The father saw it. The older brother. You can say what you want to about the older brother, but I bet you he saw this rebellion coming out of that young man. I bet he heard things in the field that came out of his heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then there's the servants. And I look at them servants. You know what those servants were? They were still there when it came time to restore the prodigal. I bet you the servants knew it too. You can't fool a good servant of God. You see, it's written all over your counsels. I used to think my preacher was peeking in my kitchen window. He was reading my countenance. That's the reason sometimes I take my glasses off. I don't want to see them.
Right.
And here it is. Wasted his substance. Now rebellion's come full out. Now it's manifested. It's been hidden all the way down the road. He couldn't see all the... A lot of folks didn't look at it that way when it was happening. But he was on the road the whole way. And there's good hope in this thing. What is it? Look at verse 20. I'm sorry. Look at verse 18. The best part of the story is right here. When he chunked it all, and in humility, he said this: I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy. I'll tell you what happened. His pride got trampled on. He put the pride down. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called a son, but make me as one of thy servants. You know what he knew about the servants? They were still in the father's house. They were still eating of the Father's food. They were still being cared for by the Father. Just being a servant. And he figured it out. Young people, what's it going to take for you to figure it out? Old people, what's it going to take for you to figure it out?
Right.
You're going to have to wind up in the hog pen.
Yeah, it's sad.
When you've had preacher after preacher after preacher warning you, don't go that way, don't go that way. When you've had preachers begging you, give God you. Give God the glory. What's it going to take? The best part of the story was his repentance. I said it this morning, I believe it was. Maybe it was like I lose track of time. But some of y'all don't need to run to this altar. Some of y'all need to crawl. Some of y'all need to chunk your pride and get to God before it's too late.
That's right.
Those of you that have been here before, look around. Who's not here now?
That's right.
And I bet you I can find stories. I don't even know what's happened in anybody's life, but I bet you I can find stories that would curl my hair and your hair from young people that once sat where you're sitting.
That's right.
From Christians that once sat where you're sitting. Or so-called Christians anyway. Professing Christian. I don't know the hearts, but every head bowed, every eye closed. I just feel led to do this tonight. How many of you tonight, you don't have to raise your hand yet, but how many of you tonight are blessed beyond measure? So many blessings. I mean, if you were to stop and count them all, you couldn't even put numbers on them. There's so many. More than the stars of heaven, God is blessed. Are you taking it for granted? Are you thankful? When was the last time you thanked God? When was the last time you just got down on your face and began to thank God for His blessings and tried to tell Him about some of them, tried to number some of them, and finally just ran out of what the... and just said, God, thanks for all of them, because there's so many of them. I can't even begin to tell you. When was the last time you thanked God for what He's already done in your life? Well, I tell you, the altar's open. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? Maybe tonight pride stands in the way. And pride's caused you to be careless about listening to what the Father has to say to you. Maybe tonight that's you that needs to chunk your pride and crawl this altar. Oh, I'm going to be embarrassed. It'd do you a little good. I'm not telling you you need to. But I'll tell you what, if it's just going off in your heart right now, and there's a battle raging in you right now, and you can put your finger on it and say, it's my pride, I'd chunk my pride and get to God the best way I knew how. You think too highly of yourself? Are you covetous of those things you don't have? There's young people think, oh, if I had a daddy and a mama like that. You don't. You got the ones God gave you. Listen, God gave me my daddy. He was a drunkard. But when God saved me, I won him to the Lord. And my daddy and I are best friends today. And you won't hear me put him down. He was my daddy. He fed me the best he knew how with what he had. He put clothes on my back till I was old enough to work and pay for it myself. You little too covetous of those things you don't have tonight? God speak to your heart. You on the road to rebellion tonight? Oh, that's not me, preacher. No, it probably is you. Too many blessings. Taking things for granted that God's given you. Too unthankful for what God built in your life. Too covetous of what you thought you wanted. Why don't you just use what you got? The preacher ain't got much. I'll tell you what you have tonight. The only thing God wants, and that's you.
Amen.
You've got you. God don't care about your junk.
That's right, yes.
He don't care about your aspirations in life. All God wants is you. And when He gets you, folks, you should say, He gets it all. But I'm going to tell you something. You get it all when you give Him you. You get access to more than you could ever dream. You get access to greater peace and greater power and greater happiness, amen, greater blessings than you could ever imagine by simply giving you lock, stock, and barrel to God. It's your choice. It's your move. Father, the best I know how I did was told me to do tonight. And I pray, God, you take it and use it. Lord, I know there's nothing in me that's any good that could help these folks. But I pray, God, that something was said, that some of the Word of God got in there, and the Spirit of God took it and sowed it in our hearts. Help, Lord, I pray. I pray, God, if there's one person in this building tonight that's on the road to rebellion, they'd see it. I pray you'd awaken them to it. And I pray it'd help them to get to that place of repentance before they had to go all the way down the road. Help, Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Folks, I don't want to take too much time right here. One thing we've had so far is we've had some tremendous messages.